You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We pray that you would speak to each and every one of us this morning. I thank you for your anointing in this place. I pray that people's hearts would be opened and that they would receive your word today. Let this word be yours and yours alone. Help me, Father, to bring that word across so that each and every person will understand what you're trying to say. And Lord, we thank you for that this morning in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, if I could just begin by saying, I've been having a little bit of a chat with the littlies over the last little while, as in the kids' church. I had a chat with a few of Ben and Haley's boys, and I've had a bit of a chat to a lot of the other boys, and I had a question for them this morning, and the question was something along these lines. I just said, guys, girls, when you think of David in the Bible, what do you think about? What comes to mind? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? And 9 out of 10, every single one, 9 out of 10 of them said, David and Goliath. David and Goliath. And it was so funny when I was out there having a chat to Ben and Haley's boys. Haley comes and says to me, "Oh, guess what, Henry?" I said, "Oh, what's that?" Because she had overheard when I was interviewing the boys. She said, "Guess what we're sharing on this morning at kids' church?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "David and Goliath." I thought, "Well, thank you, Jesus." Oh, I tell you what, as a preacher, you definitely want to have confirmation. Amen? Yeah. Oh, wonderful God. Well, on that note, I want to talk to you about David, just briefly. And what I want to talk to you about David is this, or what fascinates me about David is, and in particular that story of David and Goliath, is that David goes to fight Goliath. All right? David goes to fight Goliath, but David doesn't know that he's going to fight Goliath. David goes to fight Goliath, but he doesn't know that he's going to fight Goliath. David did not come down to the battle to fight. Very important to know that. David did not go down to the battle to fight. He came down to the battle to serve. David came to serve. David comes to bring his brother's lunch. Had nothing to do with the fight. He didn't know anything about the fight. But somehow he finds himself in this. And let's just have a look at the scripture. I want to share something with you. They don't talk about this, but I want you to see it this morning. Everyone talks about David and his bag of rocks and his 5 smooth stones and what he did with those 5 smooth stones, how he killed the giant. But I want to tell you that they're looking at the wrong bag. They're looking at the wrong bag. Let's have a look at this. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 13. We'll begin there, read through to 19. And it says this. Excuse me. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. Next to him, Abinadab. And the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. And the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The boy had a job to do. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried corn or parched corn. An ephah is about, well, it says it's a bushel, but it's like a basket when you look at what he actually had to take. An ephah, which is a bushel or a basket of this dried or parched grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. They were fighting with the Philistines. Their age-old enemy of Israel, they were fighting with the Philistines. There is a battle that has been raging on, and that's where they were. David did not come down to fight. I want you to see this. David came to serve. I've entitled this morning's message, From Delivery Boy to Deliverance. From Delivery Boy to Deliverance. I actually had another name, but I wasn't allowed to use that one. I said Baskets to Bags. I understand that. It doesn't really have the same impact. So, okay. Anyway. Yes, exactly. You see, everybody wants to talk about the bag of rocks. But I want to talk to you about the basket. Everybody wants to, and I see it all the time, and it's not just in church life, but it's in corporate life. Everybody's searching and pursuing the bag. Everybody wants the destiny, but they don't realize it's not about that. Everybody wants to lead. Nobody wants to serve. Everybody wants to be in control. Nobody wants to submit. Everybody wants to be the boss, and nobody wants to follow the directions. We need a generation. And I'm not going to say young people. I'm going to talk to everybody this morning. We need a generation of believers that'll find their place, their purpose, their basket, their place of serving. Because when you find your place of service, when you find your basket, you will find your blessing. Because the blessing is not in the bag. The blessing came when David responded to his dad by faith. And he was faithful with what he was charged to do. And that was to deliver the lunch. If it wasn't for that, well, I don't know. I'm just going to say this because obviously it didn't happen this way. But imagine if he didn't do that, whether he could have missed his God-given destiny and purpose. I want you to see that this morning as we launch forward into the incredible destiny that Church One has. I want you to feel this morning. God has got an incredible future for us. But it starts when we find our place of service. You've heard one this morning. And I want you to get on board with that. 12 baskets. We've got so many initiatives where we can impact not just our lives. I'm telling you, you will grow through it. But ultimately, we will see the community, see a God that we love and that we desire to see them come to a relationship with. Amen? We're talking about David. And I've used David this morning, I guess, as a launch pad into talking about the Son of David, Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the Son of David. The Bible says that, let's have a look at that. That's a very important scripture for us to look at this morning. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, and it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, or bondservant, servant it says in the King James Version, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself. He humbled himself. We're talking about the God of creation. So how much does he actually love you? The God of all creation, the Bible says, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus did not come as a king. He did not come as the captain. He did not come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He did not come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came as a lamb. He came as a servant. Now we know what happens when we read that. We're going to look at that a little bit further down. But I want you to see that. His humble beginning. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His beginning began in a little humble stable. A lowly, the Bible says. He was born. He came as a servant. And I believe that he changed the perception of Christianity for 2,000 years plus by the demonstration. Now, I know when I even struggled with putting down that he didn't come as a king, because I know he was the king, the King of Kings. I know he was the captain. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But in this context, it is important to see the value he placed on being a servant. Because ultimately we will not, now this is the truth, ultimately we will not reach this area if we don't serve. That's the bottom line. It was the basket that brought David to the place where the bag would work. The basket brought him to the place of blessing. And this is interesting too. I thought I kind of saw this toward the end. And it was that when David goes to feed or bring his brothers lunch, the reality was he was serving the brothers who eventually would serve him. Because he, as we know, became the king. So I want you to see how he humbled himself. He was faithful in what he was charged to do and was simply to take his brothers some lunch. No one talks about this. There's no fanfare. There's no excitement. Everybody loves the rot. Whoop. But the truth is, the true victory is in the basket. We've got to find that. It's important. I thought about this. Imagine if David had said no to his dad. David, I want you to take your brother some lunch. They're hungry. They've been out there 40 days. Me? Don't you know that I have been anointed to be king? And you want me to go serve them? Don't you know that they are eventually going to serve me? Imagine that. He may well have lost his destiny, his purpose. The reality is he fed his brothers, but he also fed his children and his children's children and his children's children's children because of his faithfulness to the basket. Serving is where it's at. It's where it's at. The Bible says that Jesus says he took the form of a servant and he humbled himself. He humbled himself, born in a lowly place, in a shed, a barn, a stable. our King. His disciples were with him as he grew. They saw the incredible miracles that happened by his hand. But even then, they didn't understand because they wanted a king. He was there. They wanted a king. And there he is. We know the story. They crucify, or they hang him on a cross, Jesus. They stretch him wide for all the world to see. And there is his disciples, his mum, his family were there, and all those that were the soldiers, the centurion was there. There no doubt was a crowd there, and they'd stretched him wide. He was up high so everybody could see. And we know that Peter began to curse because he thought he'd lost the Savior. Thomas begins to doubt. All these things begin to happen. Where's your water walking Jesus now? He's dead. Where's your miracle working Jesus now? He's dead. He's hanging on a cross. And for 3 days, 3 days, Jesus was willing to look bad. Things looked quite bad. But oh, early Sunday morning, on the third day, he rose in victory, amen. He rose in victory. Prior to that, I want you to see, they were looking high. The disciples were looking high. You can imagine the confusion. I thought this was the King of Kings. I thought this was the Lord of Lords. They'd missed the fact that he had actually come to serve humanity. They'd missed it. So they're beginning to panic. Oh, maybe he was a heretic. And all these sorts of things. I don't know what was going through their minds. All I know is they were denying his existence. That's all I know. Because they were looking high. But Jesus went low. He went low. He dealt with the grave, the Bible says. Death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? Because he went low. He dealt with the devil and all his powers. And on the third day, he rose again in victory. And that's where we stand this morning. In victory, church. Everything we do, everything as we serve, everything that you put your mind to, it's all about what he has done for us. It is the victory, the platform that he has given us this morning. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2. We'll go back there, 7 through 11. It says, but made himself of no reputation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now he is the King. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who comforts. He is the one. And that is how we serve. We don't serve because we have to serve. We serve because we want to serve. We want to see people's lives changed. We want to see people experience the love that we have for our Father, for what Jesus has done. It's the have to versus the want to. It's the law versus grace. It's want to. I want to serve. Grab some water, honey. Thank you. I want to serve. I want to give God my best. I want to fit where I can possibly do whatever you want me to do, Pastor Jan, Pastor Trevor. I will do it. I will do it because I want to do it. Let's never underestimate the power of your basket. Because it's the basket that brings you to your blessing. It was the basket that brought him to the place where he understood the potential of the bag. It was the basket that brought him before the king, before kings. I don't know why I have notes. I just go all over the place. I look, I'm at the end and I should have been at the beginning. And I'm... Anyway, looks good, it looks professional. Church, it's about him. Yes. It's about what Jesus has done. Yeah. He came to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Yes. And it's about serving. Number one, what Pastor Ted has been talking to us about, and it's just been resonating with me, humility and unity. Humility and unity. Unity is so key because unity empowers you. It will empower you to work through stuff. Let's face it. Probably a lot of us who have been in church for a long time and realize that when you're in church life, there is stuff that needs to be worked out. How many know that? Well, I better not show hands, all right? Just in case it's got something to do with the person beside you. Husbands, wives, children. There is stuff that needs working out, and unity. Because the Bible says that we're brethren dwell together in unity. That's in Psalms. God commands. Doesn't just say, oh yeah, we may bless them. He commands a blessing. So unity is a key when it comes to serving, when it comes to praying, when there's controversy or when there's struggles. Unity. I am determined to walk in unity. When I serve, I value unity. I value the body, and I am going to pursue it. That'll help you serve. Rather than, oh man, I'm out of here. It will give you the ability. That's why humility, and it takes humility. That is a big ingredient. That's why I loved what Pastor said. He brought the two together, humility and unity. It's going to take some unity, some humility. It's going to take some guts. Let's just say it as it is. It's going to take some change in our lives. I'm going to have to change. Henry, you're going to have to change. My wife's doing a great job. We've been married nearly 20-something years now. And I'm changing, you know, a little bit at a time. Practically perfect now, anyway. I guess we're going to work on her next. Not at all. That's absolute fib. She's perfect. Servanthood is where it's at. Jesus demonstrated it. He had everything. He is everything. He is our all in all. Yet the Bible says he humbled himself. He demonstrated it to us as a church. This is the way forward. Servanthood coupled with unity and humility, we will see the job get done. Amen. We will see the Gold Coast saved. We will see people's lives changed. We will see relationships pulled together. We will see this place transformed. I tell you, hold on to your, I was going to say hat, nobody's got hats. Hold on to your hair or lack thereof, it doesn't matter. But God has taken us on. God is going to change this area if you will submit to Him this morning and allow yourself to be changed and be all that God's called you to be. Look for a place where you can serve. Amen. And we're just going to close in prayer right now. But I don't feel to pray for anyone in particular other than everyone. I think it's one of those ones where it'd be wrong to ask for hands, because the Bible does say, and it's very clear on the area of serving. I'm not saying you should just jump into everything now, but I'm saying be purposeful about it. Your gift makes a way often. Look at the gifts and talents and abilities that God's placed in you. That's always a good place to start. But Father, I just pray this morning for each and every person in this place. I pray that you have spoken to us this morning. And I pray that you have challenged each and every one of us this morning in whatever area, what level of understanding or teaching or whatever it is. I pray, God, that you would continue to stir us. Because ultimately, God, we want to see what you want to see. It's your will that none perish, but that all would come to a place of salvation and repentance. So God, we pray, and it is a corporate prayer this morning, Lord, that you would continue to use us. That we want to be all that you've called us to be and more. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this place, young person, old person alike. And I thank you for the desires and dreams and the gifts and the talents and the wisdom in this place. I pray that you would move people's lives. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.